Welcome to the Tech 5 Show, the podcast that explores what's new in the tech world and includes products and app reviews, all in less than 30 minutes. Here are your hosts, JB and Lynn.
Welcome to the Tech 5 Show. Today we're going to be talking about streaming music services and what we do and don't like about them. JB, what do you got for me?
The timing on this one's perfect with the Apple announcement and them talking about Apple One. I got into looking around, maybe thought about revisiting Apple Music. So Apple Music will be part of the Apple One offerings when they release those. We're assuming the announcement was coming this fall. We're going to assume that they'll start launching those here in the next month, and then they'll add the Fitness Plus component that's supposed to come in late 2020, so by the end of the year. But I was looking at Apple Music again. Been a long time Spotify customer. Spotify has been fantastic. Probably my favorite service for a number of reasons. You know, not only music selection, curated, you know, playlists and radio functionality, but just the little things. The crossfading is one of my favorite features. So you get that silence taken out, and it rolls from one song to the next. And I don't know why I like that, but that's one of my favorite features, and not a lot of the music services have that. So going back to Apple Music, though, specifically, you know, I tried it out again this weekend, activated my account for another month. And you know, if you're in the Apple ecosystem where you're using Apple TV, you got an iPhone, you got iPads, maybe you have the smart speaker, it makes logical sense that you'd use that service. And what I found in using it this weekend is there's still certain things that bug me. You know, so you're, if I'm doing this from my PC, the web browser app for Apple Music is pretty wonky. You're getting into iTunes on the PC. It's looks unmaintained compared to what you see probably on the Mac. And just, you know, what I found is it's probably not the one that I'll stick with, even though it's going to be part of the Apple One bundling.
But okay, let me ask you about that. My question for you with Apple One, the package that they have, right? So the individual, which is $14.95, family is $19.95, then obviously Premier once you add in more features. But the basic feature of the individual is Music, TV Plus, Arcade, iCloud at 50 gigs. Do you use all those things?
I think from the individual perspective, you know, I've got... When everyone bought their new iPhones last year, you got the free year of TV Plus, which for people will probably be running out here in the next month.
Yep.
So there's that component of it. Apple Arcade, I've tried it out, didn't keep the subscription. iCloud I have because iPhone backups and stuff like that. I think I'm on actually a 200 gig plan for my iCloud.
Me too.
You know, and then music. So looking at the individual bundle, I don't know if it's something I would run out and do right away. I think I like News Plus. So I do like the Apple News Plus for the magazines and things like that. You don't get the News Plus into the bundle until you get to that Premier level, which is $30 a month. And right. So when you get to that Premier level, you're adding News Plus, you're adding Fitness Plus, you're getting 2 terabytes on the bundle. The other part with the Premier is you can share that with the family for up to 5 people. So that might be worth it if you need to be able to share music across, you know, music streaming services across people in your household. They get access to all those other capabilities, whether it be TV Plus, Arcade, iCloud, News Plus, and then Fitness Plus. So that's $30 a month, probably not a bad deal, especially if you have a compare it to Peloton, right? So I don't even know what a Peloton subscription is monthly anymore. I think it's, is it like $30 or $20?
I thought it was like 50, but you know, either way, it's, I think you're getting more with, you know, the Apple One than you would by using Peloton, obviously, because you have all these other things. I mean, if you're going to really use the Fitness Plus, the $30 a month is completely worth it. That in itself could be $30 just in itself because of what they're offering you and all the different things that you can do and where you can do it. And, you know, and the list goes on as far as just being able to use that service. For me, I'm on the fence about all of it, whether I would want to go that direction or not, because I, music-wise, I'm somewhere else. So,
yeah. I mean, if you look at it, the Peloton All Access, which is basically gives you access to their entire library of classes, on your Peloton, and then also being able to take stuff on the go via that Peloton app. That's $39 a month. That requires you to have the bike, right, which that's a investment, or bike or treadmill. And then you can do the Peloton digital membership, which is outdoor running classes on the Peloton app for $12.99 a month. You know, I think Apple Fitness Plus is going to be $9.99 a month. It's going to support a bunch of stuff. You know, I don't have a preference either way, but they definitely did a nice job of providing a good overview of the offering and what's going to be included with Fitness Plus. So,
yeah, all right. So what other services do you use besides Spotify?
The other one that has been, I guess, part of what I used in the past is Google Play Music. And so I was a early subscriber of that, where I still get that for, I think, $7.99 a month. And so I've held on to that forever. At that point, they were doing Google Play Music along with YouTube Premium for $7.99 a month. I think regular users were paying $9.99 a month. Google Play Music is now being retired. Also, that's starting to happen. People have already started to migrate over to YouTube Music. I've tried checking that out. I think the nice thing about Google Play Music was the ability to upload your own library. With that, if you had a lot of songs that you collected that weren't maybe mainstream or available, you know, online to stream in the first place, you still have access to those via your mobile device when you want to stream, or that was maybe one of the advantages. Now, I mean, with going to YouTube Music, it allows you to combine both music videos, things like that. So you get kind of that both audio and visual experience through that. I've tried it out. I'm not completely sold on that one. I still keep finding myself continuing to go back to Spotify.
Well, I mean, there's also a comfort thing there, right? You know how it works. It has that crossfade option. And you probably have your playlist already set up. You know, you can go to your little disco playlist and play it right away, or your 80s playlist, yes, or your Hallmark music themes at some point, you know, because you know you
Christmas
have it.
Christmas season is upon us.
Yeah, yes, exactly. So I'm surprised. I need to put in the background some sort of like Christmas music at this point. You know, and for me, what I do is mostly just XM. You know, Sirius XM. So I have the app on my phone, notifications as far as, especially when in the car, or like the songs I like, those come up. So yeah, we have probably that subscription across two vehicles, and then obviously the app. It adds up quick when you have two vehicles and, you know, the full service option.
Yeah, I'm still an XM subscriber as well, and I think I probably have been since around 2000, back when you'd buy the tuner and you'd have to hook it up to your tape deck or an auxiliary cable into your car stereo. And you know, at that point back then, service, gosh, I don't remember how much it was back then. It was, I think, less than $10 a month. Nowadays, making us sound old, nowadays, yeah, it's one of those things where you are getting tagged with music royalty fees, you've got taxes, you got all these other little things. So I think it's right around 14, 15, 16 bucks a month, unless you watch for a promo. And that's one of the things, is it's you have to call them to cancel your subscription. And you know, for anyone that's been an XM subscriber, I think they have this little song and dance that they have to do, that when their subscription is getting ready to run out, they call and cancel. They don't get talked into renewing. They cancel straight out, and then they wait for the mail to come, you know, a month from then with the great deal, and then they re-sign up. So the differentiator is you can get it anywhere you go, right?
Yep.
Whether it be on your app or in your car. But there's tons of free options out there. And, you know, provided you have connectivity to the internet, there's a lot of free options out there that you could be using otherwise. So it's a tough thing to, I guess, justify maybe having. It's definitely a nice to have. But I still think there's other things out there that are just as good, if not better, offerings.
No, and I definitely don't disagree. I was looking at these, the package prices. You know, the mostly music is $10.99. The XM Select is $16.99. There's also the All Access, which is $21.99, and that includes just everything, you know, including the mobile and all that stuff. For us, this was having XM was great, because when we traveled the US for a year in an RV, that's where we could always have the same type of channels. Now, listening to local radio in your car was great, but there was just times like, hey, I want to listen to Margaritaville, you know, some Jimmy Buffett songs, turn to that channel, I got it, no matter where I'm at, I have that kind of comfortable feeling of, all right, here's the music I like to listen to. The connectivity part of it, you know, with a lot of new cars now, you have access to everything, you know, meaning you are connected and you can download those apps that you would normally have on your phone. I think it's changing, and XM needs to kind of probably figure something out, which they're trying to do, but I just don't think it's not changing fast enough, I guess.
Yeah, I agree with that. Again, like my subscription, I think, goes through next spring. And every year I go through this, it's like, I really don't need it. I really don't need it. But it's just the convenience of being in the car. And again, these are problems where this is things. These are not necessities. Where everything we talk about, I think, on our show is definitely has nothing to do with being a necessity. So,
yeah, exactly. All right. So what else do you have for online streaming music services?
So obviously you get Amazon Music, which is a lot like a lot of the other offerings. They do have a higher end offering where they give you very high bitrate music. The catalog is more limited when you get to that. There's people that have the ear for that, and that's what they want. I'm not one of them. So it's not something that interests me. There's other offerings out there. I mean, you've got Tidal, you've got Deezer. There's a lot out there, and I know we're forgetting a lot, but, yeah. You know, in terms of mainstream offerings, those are obviously out there. And the one thing, you know, the other challenge, and you don't run around switching services because you, like you were mentioning earlier, you build up your playlist, you could do all your customizing and things like that and building out your library. And it's not easy to move from one to the other. And I was actually looking for ways to do this back when I was moving from Google Play Music to Spotify. And there's some stuff out there. There's sites out there that will connect to your Spotify account via API and pull your playlists and try to transfer them to another service. And one that I've tried out that actually seems to work very well, and I've been using them for several years now, is Soundiz. It's SoundIiz.com. They've got a web app, and it's all strictly from the web browser. You connect to your services, and then you can have it transfer playlist between services. You can actually set up synchronization jobs. So if you're on multiple services and you might be changing stuff on one service or the other, it can keep those playlists in sync between the services. And I want to say they charge, it's like $30 or $40 a year for a subscription for you to have access to the service. But a lot of capabilities, and it's just nice for, you know, like when I was moving from Spotify, you know, to Apple Music, able to transfer over my playlist. And obviously there's some songs that aren't going to match up. It might pull songs off wrong albums, things like that, but for the most part, it's pretty rock solid.
Well, shoot, I mean, I'm just kind of looking now, they have 44 available services. I mean, it's wow, they cover a lot of different music services as far as being able to bring over your playlist and stuff. That's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. I mean, and when you're done, you know, for example, transferring a playlist from one service to another, it gives you, it tells you, you know, percentage complete, percentage matched, and so on. And then it'll give you a file, that a CSV, comma separated values file, that you can download and see what failed or what wasn't able to be transferred. I got playlists that are 500, 600 songs that maybe failed to transfer 10 tracks. Now, if you've got very obscure playlists, things that might not be available on the streaming services, your mileage may vary, but I have had very good luck with it.
Very cool. All right, so do you have any final thoughts on streaming music services?
I still think it's Spotify. I mean, that's where I'm at for now, and that's where I'll stay until somebody else finds a way to beat them.
It is a great service. They were the first ones to add us to their podcast list, so I'll give them the win and the fact that quick on their feet. Well, that's it for the show. Thanks again for listening to the Tech 5 Show. We'll catch you on the next one.